In 2005, the worm turned. Welcome to This Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. Contact information is Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado 80502. In 2005, the worm turned. I suppose you want me to explain myself, so I will go ahead and explain myself. The election, the re-election of George W. Bush had just taken place. The Democrats were devastated. They were like they are presently unhappy. This would be the election of the fifth king in Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. The riddle of the final presidents of the United States of America. Number five, being George W. Bush. He had just won the election, and there was an article that was written in 2008, humanevents.com, and the title of the article was, or is, Billionaires for Big Government. Billionaires for Big Government. I'm going to read something before I get into this article. Hopefully I don't have to do two programs. But I'm going to read something that Donald Trump had stated about a month ago concerning an article that Susan Rice had written about this administration, about Donald Trump specifically. After she wrote the article, President Trump demanded that Netflix drop Susan Rice from its board. I think I said Susan Rice. And he was reacting to the critical comment that Rice had made during a podcast, not many, just one. Here's what she said. I should say that Laura Loomer, she had posted about Rice's comments, and then Trump responded. Netflix should fire racist Trump deranged Susan Rice immediately or pay the consequences. She's got no talent or skills, purely a political hack. Her power is gone, will never be back. How much is she being paid and for what? I'm not going to bore you in this program, because if you will understand what took place after the election in 2004 with Bush coming back into a second term and what was happening in the minds of the Democratic Party at that time, not knowing what to do, what direction to take, how to turn things around, who would be put in positions in the 2006 election. That was just the beginning. What was going to happen in 2008, the election of 2008? The Democrats had no candidates, no one able to, you might say, end the influence of the Republican Party, which that Republican Party back then, with George W. in place, was pretty corrupt. Patriot Act is an example. Trump ends by saying, thank you for your attention to this matter. Now remember that Susan Rice was a Obama, she was the foreign policy advisor to Dukakis and to John Kerry and Barack Obama. So, anyhow, here's what she states. This is important because what happened in 2005 has, the effects have reached us to this very day. I forgot to mention that this is the program, the 25th of March, 2026. I'm sorry, 2026, Wednesday. I should have mentioned that right away. I normally do. Quote, when it comes to the elites, you know, the corporate interests, the law firms, the universities, the media, I agree with you. And she was being interviewed by Preet Bharara. I've seen them before. I've seen his program, but not often. She says, I agree with you, Preet. It is not. It's not going to end well for them. This is just a month ago. She is saying that what is happening in the Trump administration with the MAGA, the conservatives, it's not going to end well with them. This is projection. This is occult projection. This is an occult speech. Occult speech. Now listen to what she says. It's not going to end well for them. For those that decided that it was, you know, that they would act in their perceived very narrow self-interest, which I would underscore is very short-term self-interest, and, you know, take a knee to Trump. I think they're now starting to realize, wait a minute, you know, this is not popular. Well, presently, this was a month ago. This is a cult speech. This is a cult, occult projection. And the American people do not still understand the power of occult propaganda. Even the Christian people don't understand it. From the time she spoke this a month ago on the 22nd of February when this article was written, look what has happened in the last month. You have a switch, a turn, a trigger, that event that has happened. It's not Iran. Yes, Iran, what is happening there with Israel and the United States, yes, that is front page news. We do have to watch what's happening. But what has happened within the country with the switch and the negative speak against the president, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, there are others, a Catholic conference with people that were invited to speak. Candace Owens, Owens. This is demonic. Now, as an individual who has been, you might say, asked, called by the Lord, by Christ Himself, to minister to a micro and macro world of people that I influence, I'm very concerned. And even though I'm concerned, I can't change what is going to happen. The people that have supported Donald Trump because of the power of the media and because of an attitude to make America great, to eliminate every problem that we have in America, which is impossible. There's no such thing. Only Christ can make the world perfect, but the Make America Great individuals, they have advice for President Trump. Everyone on these different media outlets, they all have advice for the president, but they don't really understand what he's doing. He is taking that in the movie Star Wars with the big, what was it, the, it's been so long, where Luke Skywalker had to take flying whatever rocket, his jet, and send a missile down to the heart of that big world out in space. The Death Star, I guess you call it. Donald Trump is trying to destroy the Death Star centered in the city of London and the United States, New York City. And it is a cabal. It is a small, powerful group of elites. I'll use Susan Rice's word. Elites on the socialist, communist, fascist side of the Democratic Party internationally. Hope I phrased that correctly. That this is who Donald Trump is at war with. Powers in the city of London and New York City that have basically developed this world that we're in presently, have ruled over the nations presently, who have orchestrated World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War, Afghanistan, the war in Iraq initially, and they're losing control. Now, Britain has been involved with Iran protecting the wealth of the Khomeinis in the British offshore account systems. The British have been working with Iran, and eventually Trump realized, and Netanyahu. Is Benjamin Netanyahu aware of the British and what the British have been doing since 1890, turn of the century, what the British were involved with during the time of T.E. Lawrence and setting up an Israeli a plan with Israel using Jewish people who were part of a Frankist system? I'm throwing a lot at you. I hope you can understand. Not all of you will. Some of you will. But this is who Donald Trump is at war with. He's not at war with Iran, but because the British have been protecting the power structure in Iran, working with Iran, going back 50 years, and Iran, through the last Khomeini rule, before he died here 2 weeks ago, almost three, have been building every weapon imaginable to destroy Israel and to empower every terrorist group, basically, in the Middle East. And this is who Donald Trump is at war with in a foreign, objectively, internationally. Not just England, but France, all the European family, they stick together like glue. They're all corrupt, all of them. There are no, basically, most of the Western European countries have a problem with Donald Trump because he's ruining, he is interfering with, he is scuttling their long-term rule of Europe and their influence upon the nations of the world. Now, going back to Susan Rice, sorry. So Donald Trump, you know, she brings out this subtle way to put this. Take a knee to Trump. Look at the picture that she's painting. Then she says, Trump is not popular. This is absolutely a lie. To the Democrats, now that's true. So she is splitting, telling the truth, but telling a lie. And for the people that don't understand occult speech, Trump is very popular. He's very popular in the United States. He's popular in South and Central America, South America, especially Argentina. He is popular in Western, Eastern, and Central Europe. Very popular. And he is popular in the Middle East. So she lies. She lies. Then she says what he is doing. Now, I'm saying in the Middle East, he's popular, but the American people don't understand what's happening there. Why is Kuwait? Why is Dubai? Why is the Qatar, Saudi Arabia, many of the nations in the Middle East, why are they basically thanking Donald Trump for taking the position along with Israel against Iran? This is why Iran is hitting those other countries, because those countries have an agreement with Donald Trump, working with the American administration, this American administration. But see, those that were Trump supporters, they're looking at one thing. The problem, they think, with Israel, and that Donald Trump is being led around by the nose by Benjamin Netanyahu, which is absolutely not true, but it's a powerful lie. And the Trump bloc, a great percentage has believed it because of Carlson, because of these influencers presently that Tucker, I'd heard years ago about his father, who his father was. Birds of a feather flock together. The blood is thicker than the mud. And Tucker Carlson, I'd heard, I forget who mentioned it, Tucker and Candace. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I had heard they were receiving money from Qatar, and that money was with an agreement that they would basically speak out publicly against Israel. It's going to backfire. Eventually, the Bible says that anti-Semitism is going to be exposed, be known to be true, be real, but the whole world basically will eventually do everything that is needed to get the Jewish people internationally, out of this country, internationally, back to the Middle East. They say the Zionists, what I call the dark side of Zionism, they wanted the Jewish people to return so that they could control the area of Israel in the Middle East. And it's backfiring because eventually the Jewish people, because of great persecution, are going to go back to the Middle East, and it's going to be a bigger problem for the globalists. Because once they get back, this is a prophetic fulfillment, where there would be a second Exodus in the Bible, Exodus 2, which will be taking place, may have started as a trickle presently, but will erupt into a massive flood of Jewish people, true Jewish people by lineage, going back to the Middle East. Okay. Going back to Rice's quote, quoting her. What he is doing, whether or not the economy, whether on the economy and affordability or on immigration now, is not popular. No, it's absolutely popular. The immigration issue is popular. What he is trying to do with the economy is turn things around, and he's done a great job. But with this conflict in Iran right now, it's we can't stop it. Donald Trump just happened to be at the place where he needed to be to begin to set in motion events that will eventually lead to a Russian war with countries aligned with Russia in the future. I hope not this summer. I'm really hoping not this summer. I prefer 2027, but I can't get into that. So she says, and there is likely to be a swing in the other direction. They are going to be caught with more than their pants down. They're going to be held accountable by those who come in opposition to Trump and win at the ballot box. And it's going to happen because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And this conservative / MAGA / patriot group is now at war with itself because of the Iran situation and the lies that Israel is leading us into these wars. I've stated years ago, I'll state it again, no matter what, America will supply munitions, finances, support, political support, everything needed for Israel to fulfill an objective that is in the Bible. It is one objective, is Psalm 83. It is the objective for Israel to expand her real estate from the Mediterranean east into the Jordan River, into the nation of Jordan. Israel is going to do that. That is the plan for right now. Secondly, the city of Damascus must be destroyed. That is a plan, a prophecy that will take place when Benjamin Netanyahu finishes the punishment of the nations that have always been at a state of hatred, conflict with the children of Israel, going back to the time of before Moses. But after Israel left the wilderness, that is when the conflict would begin with the families in that region. Israel will bring peace to that region. And the real estate of the nation of Jordan will be Israeli real estate. When Israel has Jordan, then the scene will be set for Russia and other countries to come into the Middle East in the nation of Jordan to occupy with their military forces. Hopefully that's not this summer. So, Benjamin Netanyahu, America will continue to assist Israel. I don't care if the UN, I don't care if the American people, the Democrats, the conservatives, the patriots, It doesn't matter whether the Arab nations are upset with the United States funding Israel, assisting Israel with weapons, technology, with satellite surveillance. It doesn't matter. This is a prophecy, Psalm 83, being fulfilled. The end of that prophecy, the fulfillment, will occur when Israel takes over the real estate from Amman, Jordan, down south to, I think, Petra, no, to the Aqaba. So, whether the Europeans like it or not, we will, at this point, America, Donald Trump, whether he is on board or not, it doesn't matter. The globalists, the people that rule things, will send whatever is needed to Israel. It's not just Donald Trump. In this country, in the military, in the Pentagon, in the Congress, Senate, there are people that are what you would term impure Zionists. And they are going to make sure that Israel is taken care of, because this country, the next administration, is going to move forces that might be positioned already by Donald Trump. And those forces will eventually be used to invade the nation of Israel. So if you think Israel is running the show, you are mistaken. You're mistaken. Israel has Benjamin Netanyahu has been employed by God, his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to finish and be the individual that is the prime minister who is to take this campaign that began on October 7th, 2023. That's when Israel's campaign began to eliminate, remove the terrorists and the threat in the region. Now, whether or not some people feel that the Israeli government knew what was happening, it was allowed, well, there were some in the Israeli government that knew about it. But Benjamin Netanyahu, what I had understood, he was uninformed just for that short space. But he has basically, he knew going back to 2005, he knew what was happening in his region. He knew what Iran was doing. Was he aware of underground tunnels in Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, present-day Jordan, in Iran, underneath, deep down? Yes, he was aware of all of it. Could he do anything? No. During those years up until October 7th, Israel was attacked. Every time there was an attack, Israel would hit back, defend themselves, and eventually the UN, the United States, will step in through Obama or George Jr. or Reagan. The U.S. would step in and cause the halt. But prophecy must be fulfilled. Psalm 83. It would be a plan of the terrorists in the region to bring about genocide and ethnic cleansing. It's right in that chapter. So those that are trying to commit genocide are not the Jewish people, is not the nation of Israel. Those that are attempting to bring about ethnic cleansing, and what it means is that these nations, these terrorist groups, the religion in the area would eliminate all traces of Israel's history going back to Abraham. They would eliminate the history of Christ, Messiah, King David, King Solomon, all the prophets of Israel, Ahab, Jezebel, all of it, so that there'd be no talk or remembrance of anything that pertained to, not just pertain, but any history from the time of Abraham when he was in the desert to his son Isaac, Isaac and his wife having Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, which become 13 eventually. Even it would be difficult to eliminate the history of Abraham because of Ishmael. So they're going to have a real tough time cleansing history, because that means they have to cleanse the children of the dukes of Ishmael throughout that history, almost 3,500 years, meaning that there would be no Saudi Arabia. There wouldn't be the Arab nations. So what they're planning, their objective, is futile. It won't happen. But Benjamin Netanyahu, I do believe he's still alive. He must finish his duties, so to speak, like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to go another two and a half years, or he won't reach that four-year term. He will be removed from office. What Condoleezza Rice is saying here, she's talking to an occult world. She's talking to the occult world in the Democratic Party. She's wanting to give hope to the occult powers in this country. You don't have to believe me. I'm telling you what's happening. So she finishes. Trump, they're going to come. Some of those are coming in opposition to Trump, and they're going to win at the ballot box. She is, through satanic projection and speaking, she is telling the occult world that has been in power in this country for a while, until Barack Obama was out. During the time of the Biden administration, he was never president. It was a continuation down in the basement, out of sight, by Barry Satoru, Barack Obama. It was Barack Obama's hidden four-year period. Next, she says, and I can tell you, Preet, you know, as I talk to leaders in Washington, leaders in our party, leaders in the states, if these corporations, now she's threatening the corporations, like who? Tesla? If they think that the Democrats, when they come back in power, this is satanic speech, when they come back into power, are going to, you know, play by the old rules and say, oh, never mind, we'll forgive you for the people you fired and the policies and principles you violated, all, you know, the laws you skirted. I think they've got another thing coming. In other words, she's saying to the occult world and to these corporations that, do you think we're going to forgive you? When we come back to power, there's going to be hell to pay. When we come back to power, we have always been vindictive. That's our nature. And we're not changing our nature. When we come back to power, we are going to be vindictive, and we're going to take action. We're attempting to take action now through all these organizations throughout the country that are in conflict with the president, with the Trump administration, and have been. But when we come back to power, you heads of the corporations, watch out. Watch out. She goes on to say, well, let me back up. So some of these corporations, okay, then Netflix is, or Trump in December said that Netflix had a very big market share, that its potential acquisition of Warner Brothers could be a problem. But in February, he said he shouldn't be involved in the deal and would defer to the Department of Justice to investigate the proposed merger. Paramount, backed by Trump ally Larry Ellison, Larry's got to be careful. The billionaire Oracle co-founder is also trying to buy Warner Brothers. So, and Trump has a great relationship with these parties and these potential transactions. So, going back to the interview with this Preet Bharara, she finishes, she said that what worried her most about the current political situation, quote, again, "The thing that worries me perhaps the very most is the abrogation of the rule of law in this country. There has not been an abrogation of the law of this country. This, again, is a cult speech. You're going to get it. This audience will get it. This is doublespeak. This is what the book of Daniel talks about, a type of speaking that is, I'll use Isaiah better. What is good is evil. What is evil is good. What is sweet is sour. What is sour is sweet. This type of talk, it is the Orwellian, I forgot how Orwell put it. I can't remember. But anyhow, so in other words, this is the abrogation of the rule of law in the country, and the fact that, you know, we are now living in a lawless society. No, we are not. There are those who are lawless in the society, but we're not living in a lawless society. Most of the people in this country are lawful people. They are living by the laws. They are not in the streets. They're not in the department stores stealing. This is a nation that is still a nation of laws. But she says we're living in a lawless society when the authorities of what is an increasingly authoritarian state. This is not an authoritarian state. But you see how she continues. She's a master. She's a master. In my view, she's a high witch. And she was working with Larry Nichols, who worked for Bill Clinton in Arkansas, basically stated Hillary is a practicing witch. She would fly to California to meet with a coven of witches in California. Larry Nichols told Bill, if the public finds out about this, it's going to really hurt your chances for election, I think for president. So, a lawless society when the authorities of what is an increasingly authoritarian state exercises, you know, personal police forces. Personal police forces. This is real cunning. To go and execute the will of the president, and to do so blatantly, violation of American citizens' constitutional rights, their First Amendment rights, their Second Amendment rights, their Fourth Amendment rights. Who has been violating the rights of the American people? It has not been this president. It has been, and the Democrats, they are the most corrupt internationally. The nations realize, to taking just two parties, Republican or Democrat, both are evil. Both have foreign policy laws that are causing nations to suffer. And laws, you know, domestic that are work against the American people. But internationally, if you ask and get a vote, the Democratic Party is the party that violates more constitutions, whether it be first, second, or fourth, or all the constitutions, than any other party. Which party has been involved in voter fraud? This is just one example. Which party kept an elected president out of the presidency before he wins this 4-year term? Both parties are corrupt. Now, you take the Democrat Party, the Republican Party of the past. You take the Reagan administration, you take Bush Sr., Bush Jr. Corrupt. Corrupt. You take Carter, you take Clinton, you take Obama. Corrupt. Totally corrupt. But which were the most corrupt? The Republicans were corrupt in the sense of foreign wars, drugs, and things of that nature. But the Democrats were more influential in changing policies within this country internationally. Like, for example, Carter, Trilateral Commission, bringing in the petrodollar mechanism. Then with Bill Clinton, you have the NAT and GAFTA, NAFTA, GATT, all these trading laws, which were extremely, destroyed our economy. They were involved in that administration, also in the drugs, working with the Bushes. Then you had Obama. And what does he do? The social change with the youth of this country in public education. The tens of thousands of children that were in kindergarten to eighth grade during his time in office. That was a social change which brought about what we see in this country today. No loyalty to the government, no loyalty to family, no loyalty to God. The state is God. The government can do no wrong. You can rebel against all authority. Which is more destructive? In the country, abroad, maybe not as destructive abroad. We're bombing nations, but within that 8 years, that was roughly half of a generation of children that are uneducated, that live in their emotions, that look to government for everything, that, again, hate authority. They hate the police, law enforcement. I don't have the time. So I'm going to go back to what she is saying. Then she finishes, she's about to finish. She says that, and when you have, you know, masked armed men busting into the houses of American citizens and ripping people out of their homes in their underwear and beating them and throwing them to the ground, putting them in cars, and disappearing them, all of this, what she just said in this one sentence, is absolute twist. It's a dark, the Bible calls it dark sayings. Dark sayings. In other words, they have nothing in them that is light, that is truth. Masked armed men. Well, why do they wear the masks? They have to protect themselves because the people that they're arresting are vindictive. You know who these people are, and these people will hunt these law enforcement officers down. They break into houses of American citizens. No, they go with court orders to get them in the evening when they're sleeping, with court orders. They have the judges sign these laws where they can go no knock. They're going in to get murderers, to get child traffickers, drug people in the drug business, and beat them and throw them to the ground. I don't think they go in and beat them to throw them to the ground. This is, she's putting in the minds of the people, when she stated this, an image that is incorrect. And beat them and throw them to the ground, putting them in cars and disappearing them. No. They put them into vehicles, take them down, process them. And what she means by disappearing, no, they're not murdering these people. Disappearing them, that is so subtle and so cunning. But dark sentences, Susan Rice. They don't disappear them. If anything, they send them back to their countries of origin. Then denying them access to counsel or their families. True, they don't really, according to the courts now, they don't need to have counselors. They don't have the same rights as the American citizens. Then she says, denying them access to counsel or their families. When you have the same people shooting American citizens in the street for exercising their First Amendment rights, well, the one case when somebody tries to run down an official, yeah, absolutely. When others are coming to shoot the officials and they get shot, they're not gunned down. The people that are having to respond to bullets coming at them send bullets back in the other direction. But this is it. For exercising the First Amendment rights, we are very different. We're in a very different place, and that worries me enormously. She's not worried. She is a New World Order, one world government proponent, a proponent of lawlessness, working for administrations that were lawless. Now she says, well, I expect it to be very bad, and I guess I would confess that it's probably worse than I anticipated, but not because they're doing things that surprise me. They told us exactly what they were going to do. You know, recall Trump saying multiple times on the campaign trail, if you vote for me this one time, you'll never have to vote again. Or his, you know, pledge to use the American military against the, quote, enemy within. Well, what did Obama do? What did George Jr. do? And who has thought about remaining in office due to war that they could possibly, that a president or administration in power, remaining in power due to a war, a foreign war, causing, like Zelensky of Ukraine, eliminating the, or stopping all elections. You know, You had Stephen Miller foreshadowing not only the use of Insurrection Act. Why? Because it was going to be necessary. Why? Because these individuals in the occult that are in power, had had power in this country, they would use that Insurrection Act when they come in. They'll use it if it's still in place. Then she says, but potentially the suspension of habeas corpus and the imposition of martial law. All of these, you know, yeah, have they occurred? Has it happened? To a degree, possibly. But did it take place in full, full force, or enacted in the way that the law allows? No. All of these are, you know, they tell you, interestingly, where they intend to head. Now, Trump did never, ever say that he is going to overthrow the government, destroy the Constitution to stay in power. No. I'll tell you, Donald Trump is tired. He's tired because he's got a war within this country. He has two fronts. The Democrats, the Republicans, that's one front. The rhinos, the other front, are those who had supported him initially, but did not and do not have the grace to let him do what he does. The star quarterback, he's got you all the way through the fourth quarter to the last 5 minutes of the game, and all of a sudden, because he didn't put up 42 points, he's only put up 10 points ahead of the opposing team. It's 20-10. He's 10 points up because it's not 40 points up. The crowds are screaming, let's go ahead and replace this quarterback. He's only, you know, we're only winning by 10 points. We wanted more. He's winning, but let's replace him. We got 5 minutes left. We got the ball. Let's replace him. Who's going to replace him? J.D. Vance? Rubio? These individuals, should anything happen to this president, they will be lost. They will be like deer in the headlights. There is no replacement. And the Trump is at war, fighting to the war with the Democrats and Republicans who dislike him and his policies, who are globalists, and then the people that did support him because they're not happy. They think this is a forever war. It's only been not even a month yet. It's not a forever war. This is another tool of CNN, MSNBC, and because the conservative / patriot / MAGA don't understand, they are abandoning the president. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and the Democrats, I'm not going to be able to do the whole, to finish this, what I wanted to get to because of Condoleezza Rice. This is important. Susan Rice. The individual who has been part of a hidden group in secret societies. Shouldn't be trusted. So, I'll go back to the article. All of these are, you know, they tell you interesting where they intend to head. But what surprised me is the spread and the efficacy of their efforts to do what they set out to do, and the fact that they have faced very little resistance from members of their own party. Why would you want to have your own party resist? Because they're not going along with democratic thought, democratic policy, democratic destructive objectives from private, from the private sector, from civil society, leaders and university heads and law firms, and all of the, you know, the pillars of society media, they have rolled over and played dead or hidden under the rocks. No, they've never had it so good. This country has not had it so good since 2016 to 2020 to the election. We've never had it so good. We've had it good again for another short brief period of time. Like I have stated in many programs, if you understand the riddle of Revelation chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, 9, 10, and 11, there are the seven final presidents of the United States of America. Five are fallen, one is yet to come. When he comes, he remains for a short space. So there's five, you add one, who is, and you had one, who remains for a short space. That is number seven, Donald Trump. He's going to be replaced by his predecessor, not Joe Biden, the one who filled in for Biden, the one who ruled the Biden administration from his basement in his sweats with his stuff. That's a quote from Barry years ago when asked, if you could rule from the shadows, would you do that? He said, oh, I'd love to. I'd love to rule with my sweats on in my basement with an earpiece, with somebody that has an earpiece in their ear. That's the way he'd like to do it. Why? Because he's lazy. So she finishes here. So I think the speed and the ease with which they've made progress on their agenda, which they laid out very clearly in Project 2025, which was part of a Democratic plan, and elsewhere, is what surprised me more than what they've tried to do. So she was shocked that Trump has done what he's been able to do, because he was put in that position according to prophecy in Revelation 17, verse 10. The seventh king, the king, the president of the United States, who is in for a short space. He was in for 4 years. He won the following election, but was removed. But now he's back again for another year, maybe. And then he's probably going to be gone. So he had a term for 8 years. He's going to be, should have had 16 years. Well, he actually won the last 20 to 24. That should have been his. So he is in his third administration legally. Now, okay, I laid that down for the next program. 2005, the worm turned. This is part one. I better write that down. Part one. And then I will do part two in the next program. And I will discuss to you what changed in 2005. What changed? Billionaires for Big Government. That's what the next program will be titled. Billionaires for Big Government. And then we'll see what happened to bring in Barry Satoro. Podcasts are on This Present, archived on thispresenttruth.com. thispresenttruth.com. Contact information, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. So, we are in the best of times, we're in the worst of times. But come back for the next program, Billionaires for Big Government. Rick Rodriguez, bye for now.